Estimates say there are between 1,200 and 1,700 homeless people in Santa Fe. The Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development does what is called a point-in-time study every January, but the actual number of homeless can be hard to pin down. Interfaith Community Shelter, Pete's Place, can house 123 people a night. The seasonal shelter runs from mid-October to mid-May.
I volunteer to help with the showers. We have four showers. One is handicapped. And after each person showers, we spray it all down with a Clorox solution. So the people come in to get a shower, it's all clean. And we go through all this in part to make sure nobody's illness spreads.
Showers and food are fundamental parts of home that most of us probably don't even think about, unless the water goes out or the money for groceries runs out. They're part of resource days at Pete's Place, and the work that 14 collaborating service agencies, 43 faith and community groups, and more than 2,000 volunteers here did last year. Pete's Place last year served 1,263 people and more than 19,000 bed nights in the seasonal shelter. I turned up at this Resource Friday with the intention to visit the Lifelink and to talk about housing the homeless.
Avram Golenberg. I'm a community support worker for the Lifelink, but working out of Pete's Place.
Who do you see here on resource days?
Anyone who comes by our office, we're pretty much open to seeing anybody and everybody. Our ultimate goal is to attempt to get these people housed.
The Lifelink is the lead agency that controls more than 95% of the housing options for both Santa Fe and Northern New Mexico homeless with behavioral health issues. This defines, in large part, the population of Pete's Place.
There's a lot more demand than there is supply. The supply is somewhat low, and the demand is very high. The homeless obviously need homes. To apply for Section 8 housing, the Section 8 is projected to take 5 to 7 years to attain Section 8 housing. It's that backed up.
The housing situation is a complex one, full of vouchers with different names and numbers, percentages of area median income, and the reality that not a lot of new housing is being built.
Housing goes slowly. They say once you get involved in the housing piece at the Lifelink, it's 3 to 6 months from that point until the person is actually in housing.
So the way all this really begins is that a homeless person makes her way or his way on a resource day to Pete's Place. There she or he might meet with a Lifelink worker and get hooked up to services. On this Resource Friday, Joe Jordan Berenas, the shelter's executive director, introduces me to Ricky. I ask Ricky about how he came to the Interfaith Community Shelter.
Broken, spiritually, physically, emotionally, a wreck, a drug addict. I battled addiction here numerous days. They never turned their back on me. They always offered a solution to my problem. They've heard my tears. They've been there for everything. They got me hooked up with mental health. They got me housing. They got me a caseworker that's just a darling. And I don't come here to volunteer because I know me. I stay clear. It's better that way, safe. It's not their fault that things go on here. It's a very valuable resource for those who choose to take the resources.
Many, even most of the stories that you hear here are moving and emotional. Ricky's story involves the collaboration of Lifelink to PMS, the Community Guidance Center, that helped get Ricky into housing 3 months ago. He lives now at Stagecoach Apartments, which was a housing project of Santa Fe Housing Trust.
Well, I had to pass a UA, but I did it. I finally got tired of being tired. And I didn't believe nobody. I didn't think I'd ever get a place to stay. But with the help of Joe and PMS building, it came through.
How long did you say you lived here before?
A year and 6 months.
Where'd you live before that?
Out there, amongst the wolves, the druggies.
Out there, amongst the wolves. There are a lot of stories when working with the homeless that surprise the people who know this terrain best. Joe Jordan Morenis says there are stories that have even surprised him about people he thought might never qualify for housing. Joe Jordan Morenis, the shelter's executive director.
Not this past Thanksgiving, the prior Thanksgiving. She was really losing it. And anybody came anywhere near her, particularly men, within a couple of feet, she'd scream and screech and yell, and she'd curse like a truck driver. And I suspect she was abused early on. And so the day after Thanksgiving, I'm helping her in the luggage room, and she says to me, Joe, I want to apologize. I've been a little edgy lately. And, you know, and I've told the story before, and I said, well, thinking to myself, edgy, man, you were more than edgy. And I said, well, I accept your apology. And then she said to me, would you do me a favor? And I said, well, that depends. And she said, would you go on the computer to see if my daughter is still alive? And that knocked my socks off because, you know, what most people see when they see her, you can see her, she's like what stereotypical bag woman, layered dresses, broken glasses, pushing a shopping cart up and down Cerritos Road. And people, I believe, do not get to see the human being. They see the mental health issue. They see the dirty clothes. They see the shopping cart. They see everything but the human being who's underneath it all. I mean, this is a story that's gone full circle, you know, from homelessness through trauma on the streets, being stabbed, returning to the shelter, and then ultimately being housed by Lifeline.
So what do the numbers actually look like of people through Interfaith Community Shelter or Pete's Place that have gotten housed this year? Avi Golenberg, the community support worker for the Lifeline.
It's actually 20 to 25 through the Interfaith Shelter we've watched get housed in the 6 or 7 months that we've been here.
While a very encouraging number, it also underscores the extent of the need that is not being answered by the available inventory. Carol Luna Anderson is executive director of the Lifeline. She estimates that both the numbers of the homeless are undercounted in Santa Fe and that possibly at any given time, 700 to 900 homeless people in seek of housing cannot get it. The questions about housing and the answers about what might improve it remain a matter of some complexity. The politics of building low-income housing, diminishing or flat federal subsidies to incentivize developers to build low-income housing. The reality that many landlords and many housing authorities do not want or cannot accept people who might have in their past convictions on drug offenses. And then certain requirements, such as one woman sitting by the Pete's Place door explained to me that she encountered.
I went up to the Zen Temple and I was coming back and I noticed they have a new low-income housing project. So I went to that Alta Street address and I asked about it and she said, well, it's for families only. And I thought, well, you know, I might not have had procreation privileges and I might not have a husband and I might not have had a Cinderella story, but I don't see why I should be penalized my whole life because I'm a single person. You know, why can't I be considered family as well as somebody where everything just worked out hunky-dory and better for them in their lives, you know?
The development she's talking about is called Cerro Encantado, and it is on Cerro Gordo Road. It is open to families with adults under the age of 62 who are parenting children. Going through the many issues of housing is beyond the scope of this particular story, but suffice to say that there are many entities that are working on the issue and that nationally, one of the main trends is that housing authorities are having to retrofit public housing. In other words, existing units rather than new units of housing. There are also other complexities that are not only true in Santa Fe, but across the United States. One of these is that many homeless people wind up housed in long-term jail sentences. Avi Golenberg.
law enforcement and the criminal justice system and the homeless. I'm working with someone right now whose husband has been incarcerated for 7 weeks for a 2 or 3 year old warrant, and this woman is lost without the support of her husband. They've both been living on the street for 5 or 6 years. She's alone now, and she's in need of medical help and oxygen. I mean, the problems are endless.
That the problems really are endless can make a story like Ricky's all the more encouraging for the people who do this work.
I am worthy of having a place. I am a good person. People love me. I love them. And it was hard for me to accept the love, too. Why would you love me? I'm a lowlife. Now today is like, no, I go to my mental health, I go to my doctors, and that's it. I'm not going to lose my home and all the love and support that these people gave me from one shot of dope. No, thank you. I am the poster child of Pete's. One of them.
Next time, Santo Domingo Pueblo is dealing with homelessness, particularly among veterans, and incorporating traditional healing with Western methods.
You got to remember that these people have no money, they have no job, they have no home, they have no transportation.
For KSFR News, I'm Ellen Berkovich.